Amen. Hallelujah. Let's usually get organized here. Let's pray as we get into the word this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you that we can come and draw near to you, Lord, that we can come with boldness, that we can come without fear. We thank you that through the blood of Jesus, you've made a new and living way for us, God. And as we draw near to you, God, we come with an expectation, not only, God, to fellowship with one another, Lord, but to fellowship with you and by your Holy Spirit, Lord, not only to listen to someone's opinion, God, but our desire, Lord, and our expectation is that you would breathe life into us, God, and that you would impart to us life, God, that you would, that there would be a deposit made into our hearts this morning, Father. We thank you for this word that is living and powerful, God, and we open our hearts, God. We set aside the worries of the world, God, and we choose, God, to consecrate ourselves to you, Father, to open our hearts and our lives to what you want to do in and through us this morning, God. And we thank you that you have an appointment with each one of us here, Father. No matter how we got here this morning, no matter why we are here, God, we thank you that you know each one intimately. You know the things we've gone through, like Adi was saying, Lord. You know the condition of our heart, God. You know the desires, the deep desires that we haven't shared with anybody else, God. And I thank you this morning that you meet us where you're at, Lord. That you meet everyone where we're at, God. That we can meet with you, God, in Jesus' name. And we exalt your name in this place. And we thank you that you are good, Lord. And we thank you that you are faithful, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's a blessing to be here this morning and to share the word. Thanks. Have you seen one of those before? Yeah. This is my son that's in the next room. Okay, so he's a bit bigger. He's a bit bigger now. But I must be honest with you. I've never been pregnant myself, okay, but I have had the amazing privilege to share in some parts of the pregnancy with Erna twice, and I have some of the experiences I've experienced with her. One of them was weight gain, for some reason. Erna has lost all the weight, but I haven't, so I'm still struggling to recover from that, but praise God. The first part of the pregnancy is often the most challenging one. And now, not having been in the situation myself, but kind of walking the road with Erna, it almost makes it more difficult, especially the first time around with Abigail. Some of you know we also struggled to conceive for a long time. But now we've had the test done, and Erna was indeed pregnant. And she'd experienced some nausea, and we had some blood tests done and everything. But besides that, you have no evidence that there is really a baby growing inside her. You have to just believe it, you know. She did feel nauseous, okay. So that is, could be that, you know. But you can't see anything, you can't feel anything, you can't touch anything. You have to just kind of, there's a point that you believe that it is there, but you don't know for sure. And until you see this, it can be quite difficult. But this is such a blessing. That first scan is so amazing because there is the evidence. It's there. It's very small. The little baby is quite small at that stage. But what an amazing experience. And even the second time round, it was so exciting for us to see. Obviously, one of the things you look out for is if there's only one, all right? Friends of ours, when the doctor said there's two, they just had a laugh. And then afterwards, they had a bit of a shock. So they had two boys, and now they have four boys. You know, God is good. But any case, and in life, there's a few things like this, and this is what we're talking about, is when they speak about faith, is Hebrews speaks of there's evidence of something that is not seen. So there's something, there's a substance of something that you hope for. There's evidence of something that you haven't seen yet. And we're going to have a look at the book of Hebrews in a moment, where chapter 11 is called almost the faith chapter. But if you think about it, there's quite a few things in life that we have to believe like that for. Like one, I've thought of banking these days. These days, a lot of us do a lot of electronic banking, right, or cell phone banking or whatever, and you do debit orders and direct orders and standing orders and all kinds of things. So I don't know about you, but most of the money I spend, I never see it. I don't know, maybe you still go to your landlord with a little envelope. I don't know, maybe, you know, some of us have to go with a big case. In the UK, you guys you don't know how fortunate we are here, because the money is worth quite a bit. You only have a small, if you had to take your rent to your landlord, wouldn't be a big case. But in Africa, in some countries, if you take the same amount of money, you'll have to have a suitcase for it, because it's, in any case. Anyway, but let's have a look at Hebrews and have a look at some of the guys that isn't mentioned there. It talks about it's called the giants of faith. And let's have a look at a few of those. Hebrews 11 from verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. So even right there, it kind of messes with your mind a bit. You know, things that are seen were not made of things which were visible. Now, the things that are seen were made of things that were invisible. In other words, God spoke the universe into being. Okay, now that in itself is crazy. But let's continue. Have a look at some of these examples. It's a little small. I apologize. And try and zoom in. No, let's not do that. Sorry, I'm going to have to read it. Okay. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. Let's just pause there. Noah, just think about it, okay? Just very briefly. Firstly, God spoke to him about rain that was coming. Now, the scholars say until that time it hadn't rained, right? So if somebody here in the UK says it's going to rain, it's no big deal, right? Chances are you're going to believe them, okay? But there, this is a different story. When God said it's going to rain, they didn't know what that meant. Never seen it before. So when Noah said there's lots of water going to come from the sky and we're going to build a boat, guys thought this guy has lost a few screws, but he kept on being faithful without having a clue what God was saying, really understanding. He was faithful and he was obedient and he trusted that what God was saying was the truth, and he was able to you know, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's continue with Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Just pause there for a moment. If you are Abraham, you've got quite a big household, wealthy guy, lots of livestock, lots of possessions, not any children yet given, a lot of servants, packs up his stuff and moves without knowing where to go. Okay, that's amazing, guys. I don't know if you've moved with a big household. It's a mess, guys. It's such a slip, eh? I don't know. The last time we moved, we only had one baby, and we only lived in a small flat. But the amount of stuff that we managed to squeeze in there, it's crazy. I don't know if you've had that. But so this guy, he packs up everything he's got, and he moves in obedience to God. And God didn't even tell him where he was going to go. Okay, let's continue. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs within him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah also herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which was by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Okay, I'll just go up to there. But I would really encourage you to come have a look at the rest of the chapter. Go and read through it, and then go and study a little bit the situations that they talk about. Busy, is that thing a distraction? Are you guys cold, or you're making it colder? Are you sure? Okay, we'll give you 2 minutes. If it doesn't get warmer, we kill it. I have to edit that out of the recording. Okay. So the key thing here is that most of these guys received the promise from God, but never saw the promise, or only saw a very small bit of it. Okay. Abram, for instance, the promise that God gave him was that he's going to have descendants as many as the sand, right? Crazy stuff. How many children did he have from Sarah? One son. And he received the promise. It's crazy. He went with that. And most of these guys didn't see the full picture, but they still responded in faith. They still took God at his word, and they still moved in obedience to what God is saying. And when you look at these guys, we look at what did they go on, these guys had faith. Amen? Now, what I'm saying is, what made them, what brought them to that place of being able to trust God in that way? And I believe each of these guys must have had an encounter with God, must have had a life-changing meeting with the real and the live, living God, to a place where God could tell them, listen, this is what I've promised. You can't see any of it now, but this is what I've got for you. And then believing him. Are you with me? A place where they must have been so convinced of the goodness of God that they were happy to go with that word without having any evidence. Okay? And this is obviously what Hebrew speaks of here, faith being evidence of some things not seen, you know, substance of things hoped for. And I just actually, just before this, verse 6, is it's by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But those that come to God must believe that he is, that he says, that he is who he says he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there's a place where we, to be able to have faith, we have to believe God, believe him when what he says about himself, okay, and also obviously out of experiencing that he is who he says he is. And yeah, so we're going to have a look at that a little bit this morning. How does it work? How do we experience God like that? I'm going to continue to look a little bit more at the life of Abram from Romans chapter 4. Okay, let's look at from verse 17. In the presence of him whom he believed, this is Abram, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Okay, now just get a look at the facts here. Firstly, Abram was about 100. Okay, now I was pushing 30 when we were trying for a child, and we were like, oh dear, you know. So he's 100, and God said, you're going to have children. Okay, Sarah was not far off 100, guys. How do you believe when God says you're going to have a child? Where's the limit to what is possible for God. But these guys did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And this is being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. These guys have had an encounter with God to a point with his goodness, to a point where they, beyond what any circumstance said, they considered God faithful. Not only willing to do what he wants to, what he said, but able to do it as well. And those are important because some of us believe that God is willing to bless, but some wonder whether he's able to. Okay, others think he's able, but would question whether he's willing. Question whether he's really, his intention is to bless, or his intention is to be good toward us. But Abram was convinced, fully convinced, that what he had promised he was also able to perform. Let's look at verse 22. And therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So all of that that was happened was also for our example, was for us to be encouraged and to have an encounter with, kind of see who God was, who God is, and through him also giving us his son, to for us to be able to see his goodness. Amen. Now, the only way that one can believe these kind of things and what they've experienced and beyond, I mean, in terms of the incredible odds that they faced, I mean, him being 100 years and Sarah not being able to have children, being 90-something, the only way that you can believe God like this is when you've had an encounter with the goodness of God. When you've had an encounter, a life-changing encounter, you realize, wow, God is good and his goodness is toward me. His goodness is intentionally toward me as a person. So I want to encourage us, you know, it's a funny thing that happens. Maybe it's I thought maybe it's because I'm part German and part Afrikaans. Both cultures are kind of strict, if you want to say that, and not a lot of grace always, and sometimes a lot of criticism, and in any case, a lot of amazing things as well. Okay, I'll tell you all about that another time. But it's as if we often struggle to hear God because we hear God's correction, and I find the same happens with us as believers. We hear God's correction, we hear God's direction, we hear even rebuke, but sometimes we filter out, we're speaking about this at Bible school on Thursday, we filter out God's affirmation, and we filter out him expressing his goodness towards us, and his heart towards us, and his love towards us. It's weird how we do that. And what I'm saying is that it's weird that sometimes we almost put on glasses, we almost put on filters that we struggle to see the goodness of God in our lives, and we struggle to see the goodness of God around us. And it's as if what's going on in society around us makes it difficult for us to see God's goodness in the world around us. Are you with me? But it's so important for us that we deliberately position ourselves to celebrate his goodness and to see it and to acknowledge it and to rejoice in it. Now, Pastor Tien's ministered upon this, the goodness of God, a couple of weeks ago. So I want to really encourage you, if you did miss it, please have a listen to it. And one of the things that he said was that there's a direct correlation between our growth and our revelation of the goodness of God. There's a direct correlation between my understanding or my revelation of the goodness of God and my growth in terms of me repenting and changing and growing in God. And that makes a lot of sense, because the more I'm convinced of his goodness, the more I'm willing to embrace what he wants to do in my life, because I know he's good. He likes me. Have you thought about that? You know, we know God loves us. You know, the love of God, scripture is full of it. But God likes you as well. Did you know that? Not convinced, hey? Yeah, I know. The German in me was like, I don't know about that. Afrikaans, like, yeah, I don't know. God loves me because he loves everybody. It's kind of a generic thing. But does he really like you? I'm convinced. If when Scripture says in Zephaniah, he dances over you, he celebrates you. That's amazing. He won't do that if he didn't like you. Seriously. Okay, go and read it for yourself. there's a place where I want to say we need to deliberately say, God, I want to see your goodness. I want to experience it. I want to celebrate it, and I want to be grateful for it. Okay. Now, when Pastor Tien and Arbor were here a couple of weeks ago, one of the things they picked up, and this is the amazing thing when you've got Christians coming from different countries and guys like Adi coming from abroad, when you come from a different place, it's almost easier for you to be able to discern stuff that's going on and to get a feel for the spiritual atmosphere because it's different to what you're used to. And same when we go on mission to Africa or somewhere else, it's immediately you can kind of pick up, well, there's something different here. Remember when you go to India, you get the feeling that you're playing on the devil's doorstep. Okay, I don't want to discourage you from going on mission, so I'll stop there. But you have to have lots of intercession and stuff because it's just a different vibe in the spirit. But now, one of the things that Tien and Amu picked up and we chatted about, which was very interesting, was that they said that it feels to them like there's a ceiling of that has been kind of pushed down on us as believers in terms of our expectation of what is possible for God. Okay, and when they said that, I'll explain it a little more. But when they said that, I could really relate to that because I had the same experience when going on mission trips, but the other way around. So you go into Africa on a mission trip where some of the countries we went to, some of the cultures we ministered to, had a lot of experience with the supernatural. So they had experience with witchcraft, with witch doctors, they had experience with supernatural things happening, stuff that is not cannot be explained through science or rational, you know, argument. So they, interestingly enough, were much more open for us in terms of what is possible, in terms of healing, in terms of miracles. So we experienced that ceiling was lifted when we go into those cultures, because when we say there's a law, there's a word that, I told you the story before, there's a word that all the deaf people must come to the front to receive healing, then they're open to that possibility. And the people come. At first, nobody came because they were deaf. But then they brought some people. Anyway, so the people came. And, you know, I told you the story. Many got healed. All of the people that came to the front were healed. The guy I prayed for was deaf in his one ear. And honestly, I didn't have a clue what to pray. But God healed him. And after a while, he started celebrating. I was like, okay, obviously there's something good news happening here now. And somebody get to explain to me what's happening. But the point is, when we go there, it's as if that ceiling of expectation is way up there. Because they are open to what possibilities could exist. Are you with me? And it's as if in this society that we live in Europe, because we picked up the same thing in Switzerland, it's as if that ceiling is being pushed down on us. You know, what can God really do? Right? It's interesting because there's a bit of a dichotomy, because in the media, there's a lot of demons and witchcraft happening, a lot of, in movies these days, a lot of supernatural, right? But it's as if we still live in a very secular society where people are very but I'm skeptical of what is possible. Are you with me? Have you experienced that? This is one of the challenges I believe that lies ahead for us as individuals, but also as a body, is that we can trust God to get rid of this ceiling, this thing that says, you know what, God is only able to do this much. Okay. To a place, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was younger, did you have the experience where you did stupid things when you're in faith? Have you done that? Ridiculous things. when Anna and I started dating, one of the first things that she experienced was I liked cycling. I had a brilliant bicycle, Scott, beautiful thing, came from Germany. Somebody blessed me with it, and I really enjoyed it. And one of the first things that happened when after we started dating is I got a conviction I had to give this bike to somebody. And she couldn't understand. And it took me like a day, and I gave the bike away, and the next thing I was walking everywhere. And she was like, what? You know, what's this guy? He's like, is he right in the head, you know? And but I remember those guys, that when you young in the faith, and what a blessing. Why do we lose that? I used to do, you know, we do ridiculous things when God says. I remember the one time I was volunteering at church, didn't have a job, didn't have an income. I was really basically living by faith. God is good. And at one stage, somebody blessed me with a car, not to use for a year, okay? Because they just phoned me up and said, listen, don't know what's happening. I just feel God saying I must give you the car for a year. I said, well, no problem. I think that's from God. Any case, so I was driving this car around, and then I managed to damage it. You know. Yeah, parking. Anyway, terrible scratch on the door. And now I seriously didn't have cash to fix the car, you know. So anyway, I had 200 rand, which at that stage was not a lot. It's still not a lot. It's less now. But it's about 20 pounds, right? So I had about 20 pounds that going to cost about 2,000 rand. And I just felt God say, I must give this money. It's all I had, right, on my name. Give this money, sow it in faith, and trust God that I would receive what I needed. So yeah, I did that, no problem. And then within a week and a half, I had exactly the right money to fix the car. But stuff like that. And let me tell you another one, just ridiculous things, right? The one thing, did I tell you about my trip to Vienna? All right. So my friends and I, which I was working in London, and we were going to an evangelism school in Vienna. In Austria, beautiful place. We were full of faith. We were excited. You know, we were going to go preach the gospel. And I remember we were fasting before. Nobody told us to fast. We were fasting and we broke the fast. We were going to drive there. Okay? And one of the scriptures that the Lord gave us, I'm going to read a bit later. But so one of the things we felt was that God is going to provide for us, and that scripture, that what his provision will not run out. Okay, I'll read it a bit later. It's about the oil and the widow and the oil. I'll read it in a moment. Actually, maybe I should quickly read it. It'll make more sense. Okay, 2 Kings 4. 1-7. A certain woman of the wives, I'll carry on with my story in a moment. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. The creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. Okay, so it's in the crisis. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons and brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Amazing account of a miracle of provision. So we got, this is one of the scriptures that we got before the trip. Okay? So we reckon, okay, now this is where interpretation is important. Okay? Because what this says is that whatever they had was enough, right? But we thought, it meant that, okay, so there was a bit of a misinterpretation. We left our money behind. So we didn't take what we had. That was silly, okay? But imagine we went ridiculous in our faith, right? So we left everything. I didn't take one credit card, no debit card, nothing. I think the one guy by accident took one card, praise the Lord, because we needed it later on. But we went as far as to think that the fuel that we had in the car, we will not put any more fuel in. Because the fuel will last all the way to Vienna. Okay? So that's it. We drove. So we ran out of fuel somewhere in France. Okay? I was really surprised. But that's not the end, guys. Now, we've heard these testimonies of these missionaries in Africa somewhere that ran out of fuel, and then they put water in the fuel tank. And the Lord did a miracle and changed it into fuel, and they went off the wind. So we said, no worries. I got this word. Okay, I'll take this upon me. That was me. And I said, let's go. Let's do it. We put water in the fuel tank, and didn't work. Okay. But what I'm trying to say is that we were trusting God for the ridiculous things, guys. The ceiling was way up there. What is possible for God? There's nothing that's impossible for Him. Okay, somebody helped us out, and we got to our destination, and the one guy accidentally brought the credit card, so we were fine. But the thing is, we didn't limit what was possible for God. Let me tell you what was a miracle. I don't know. I've studied some mechanical engineering. If you put water in a fuel tank, it's tickets for the engine. Just saying. So that was a miracle. We put water in that fuel tank, and that car ran all the way to Vienna and back. No problem. I'm just saying. We were in presumption there. But the Lord still did a miracle that the car didn't completely break down. But what I'm saying is that what is the ceiling? What is the ceiling of what is possible? If we look at this account, what was the limit to God's, to the multiplication of the oil? It was when the vessels were all full, right? So the amount of vessels that they collected, that is the amount of vessels that God filled. Are you with me? So guys, let's get rid of this mentality. This is great, by the way. But this is what we do sometimes. God says, bring the vessels. And we go, okay, here we go. Yeah, this is my expectation of God. Okay. You spill it. Okay. But obviously, guys, this is a... God is not impatient with us. All I'm saying is that the limit is what we expect. The limit is what I'm praying. What do I expect from God? Right? If I want to believe that God wants to bring us to a place, you and I, when God gives us a word like this, that we hire the local swimming pool. We get all the water out so we can fill it with oil. Are you with me? Or what? Something like ridiculous like that. That we say, Lord, you are able. Amen. You're able to, as far as we can stretch our faith. And going on mission trips over the years, trusting God for finance has really helped me with this. The first one, where's mission trip I went to, cost R1,000. Okay, that's like less than £100. Now, what is it? Yeah, quite a bit less. And that was a lot of money, right? For that stage, it is like a lot of money. And the Lord provided. And year on year, it got more expensive and, 10 times more expensive in the end. But the point was that step by step, God helped me to stretch my faith, stretch my expectation. And I want to challenge us with that. When you're trusting God, when you're praying for something, when you're giving or when you're blessing somebody, take it a step forward. Say, okay, last time I could sow this money, I could bless somebody with that. Next time I'm going to take it a few inches. I'm going to stretch my faith. Are you with me? Let's get a few extra vessels every time. Extra holders for the oil. Because that is, and Let's trust God to get rid of this ceiling of expectation of what is possible for us. Let's destroy this thing. It's not, we haven't put it there, okay? So let's get rid of it. Let's get rid of, what is the limit of God's goodness toward me? There's no limit. What is the limit of what I can expect from God? What a blessing that Hari shared his testimony with us this morning. And personally, guys, you know how we struggled, and the doctors said, you know, we won't be able to have children. And every time I see those two beautiful children of ours, I know there's no limit. There's no limit to God's goodness, right? Two of them now. I mean, praise God, you know. I don't know where the limit is to that. We'll see the limit in the numbers. But any case, let's just hear. Have you heard of some ridiculous things that God did? What did you hear? Tell me, just call out something ridiculously crazy miracle that you've heard of. Cancer cured, hallelujah, amen. I know at least three people personally that have been 100% healed from cancer. Anybody else? Any miracles that you know of, that you heard of? Okay, I'll tell you one. Okay? So I told you about the deaf guy I prayed for, got healed. I can tell you some stories about healings. But this one. Okay, I also know personally one of the shofar pastors that prayed for a guy that was dead. Okay? Actually, I know two personally that prayed for dead people and that came to life again. You can ask me about it later. For real. The one guy, that he was at a truck. I think he was working with a fruit truck. It's one of those, it's in the fruit area in South Africa. And they have the fruit when they just pick them in these huge wooden crates, boxes, like big, okay? And they weigh quite a lot. And something went wrong with the load. Something shifted. And he was trying to fix it. And this load came off the truck. No, I'm not talking about one box, like a couple. And he was crushed under them. So there were paramedics on the scene. And they basically tried to do what they could. Couldn't revive him. And then after a couple of minutes, they declared him dead on the scene. Right? And they got the time and everything. And by the time the pastor came there, he was from the shofar congregation. He's actually still at that congregation in Ceres. It's the fruit valley of South Africa. And he came on the scene and he saw what happened. And he just felt that God said he must pray. And he prayed. And he just prayed his prayer. And then the guy came too. Started coughing. And everybody was like this. And the paramedics were like... Anyways... So you can ask him about that one time. But here's the one that really threw me, right? Pastor Fred tells us the story of the guy that had a glass eye. Okay, so he lost his eye. Okay, we know that happens. Only one eye got a glass eye. So somebody prayed for him, and he gets healed. So that's a bit awkward. How does that happen? Does it get recreated? No, he still had a glass eye. But now you can see. You see now, that hurts the brain a bit. Hey, I can see that now again like this. How's it going to work? So what happened is this guy can remove the glass eye. He can still see. Okay. You understand what I'm saying? It seems like there's a limit to God raises people from the dead. He creates light before there was a sun. Have you thought about these things? And he fixes the guy's eye, but he's still got a glass eye. And we think there's a limit to what is possible for him. Are you with me? I know. I've hurt some brains here this morning. It's good. But so all I'm saying is God is not limited to what we think is possible, what we can imagine is possible. God is not limited to what we can prove or we can kind of conceive is maybe possible. It's not, okay? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all those things. And all I'm saying, guys, is this is a season that we're going to trust God to get rid of the ceiling and just destroy it. We're going to trust God for the ridiculous things. We're going to trust God for salvations. We're going to trust God for transformation in our community. All right, let's quickly continue. I forgot to put my timer on again. Sorry, guys. We're going to go till about 2, if you're fine with that. Okay, Ezekiel 37, I'll go quickly. Okay, I'll finish now. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, they were very many in the open valley. There were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry, okay, bones. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So this guy isn't born yesterday, right? Look what he answers. So he answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and surely and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Guys, sometimes there's dead bones all around us. We look at society, we look at our nation, and we think, is it possible for God to turn this nation? Is it possible to, if we look at the news, stuff that's happened, there's great darkness, guys, there's evil out there. And we get discouraged. Even in our own lives, we face situations, we face dry bones. We can't see any possibility of life. We can't see any evidence of these things ever being able to live again. Are you with me, guys? But guys, the challenge here is that we would receive the word of God and speak it over the situation. How can you stand on the promise of God if you haven't got the promise? How can you trust God? How can you continue to trust Him for something if you haven't received it from the mouth of God? Are you with me? So I want to say, God, get into the scripture and read what God says about you. Go and fill yourself with the promise of God. And secondly, if you're praying for your situation, if you're praying for your family, if you're praying for your country, our country, this community, trust for those specific words. But because this guy, you know, God asked him, can they live? Now, okay, he's not, so he doesn't want to make a commitment. So he says, you know what, this, he looks around, he doesn't want to offend God. So he says, okay, Lord, you know, okay, because obviously there's no life here. But then he does exactly what God tells him to do. He speaks the exact words that he's told to say. And I'm saying, I feel God wants to give us words to speak over the dead bones in your own life, but also in the dead bones around you, in your community, in your family. There's a whole big part of my family that doesn't know Christ. There's some lot of dead bones there. There's no, some of them, it's like, I don't know if it's possible. I've got to trust God to speak their life, to prophesy breath, that they would know Him. Amen? Did I tell you about my cousin the other day? He's from the German side of the family. And as the Afrikaans side, pride is a problem, guys. The point where we humble ourselves before God, it's very difficult for us. It's a miracle, people, to get saved. But it does happen. Amen. So he's been far from God. Amen. And we've been praying for him. Abby and I, in the evenings, we pray for him a lot. And the other day when we were visited there, we really trusted for an opportunity, but there wasn't opportunity really to minister to him. We just encouraged him a lot. He's going through heavy, heavy, difficult times. And the other day he texted me, and it was very short. He just said, how do you get God to come into your life? Eh? I was like, hallelujah. God is working in him. You know, this is this huge, hard as nails farmer guy. He's like 40-something already. He's like, you know, you kind of wonder if it's possible. But we've been speaking life, we've been prophesying, we've been trusting for the breath to come into the dead bones. And now the process is happening. I mean, so all I'm saying, guys, when you have got dead bones in your life and in the surrounding you, Trust God for the right words to prophesy. Trust God for breath, to prophesy the breath. Amen? And they will change. Okay, one more and then we're done. Look at that beautiful boy. Eh? He's even more beautiful now. Okay. Judges 6. he's a bit more heavier now. You can hold him afterwards and if you want to get some exercise. Okay. From verse 11, now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was an opera, and which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, to practice all these names, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours. Excuse me. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "My Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who walk to talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you." And I'll just briefly explain. You know what happens? He brings the offering and the angel of the Lord points his staff and it burns, gets burnt up. And he realizes, whoa, this is God. So he has this powerful encounter with God. Gideon, the guy that's afraid, he's hiding. He's the least of his fathers. He's the weakest tribe. You know, he's there in the pit hiding away. He's not the mighty man of valor. Are you with me? He's not. And he explains this. You know, he says, no, you got the wrong guy. But what you see after this is the first thing that he does in obedience to what God says is he gets rid of the idols. And those idols, you know, the Baal idols were that many times, you know, Baal, one of the main things, the idol Baal is, or that God that they were worshipping was fear. So he dealt with fear, guys. Fear keeps us from trusting God. Fear keeps us from walking in faith. So he dealt with fear, and after that he asked for more signs from God, and God met him right there. God doesn't have a problem to help us to with this, guys, okay? But then we see a shift happening at the end, before they actually take on the Midianites. He's got 10,000 guys and reduced it down to 300. Because God reckoned, if they do maybe 10,000, they're going to think they did it. So let's just make it less so they know this is God that did this miracle. And you know the story. But just before they do that, go and read the rest of this account. Gideon, you can see there's a change. Because before they attack, he says to the guys, when we go, you know, we shout with the sword of the Lord and the sword of Gideon. Do you see something's changed there? He's not the weakest anymore. He's not the least. He says, the sword of Gideon, put it right there next to the sword of the Lord. So suddenly, this guy has chosen to receive what God has said about him. Are you with me? And remember what I said before about us not hearing the affirmation. We hear all the negative stuff. We hear all the corrections. We hear all the rebukes. But today, guys, let's trust God for ability to receive when God says, "Mighty man of valor, mighty woman of God, have I not sent you? Am I not with you?" Amen? So he says, Gideon is... Can you see all this stuff that Gideon says? You know, this is the problem. How can you be with us? We've got all this stuff happening. There's the rapes happening all around us. There's ridiculous stuff happening in the world out there. How can you be with us? Where's this God that's done all these miracles? The ceiling is here. Are you with me? And then God ignores him. Look at him. Look at him. He completely ignores all this moaning. And he says, "Go in this might of yours." And he doesn't, it's not there yet, but he speaks to the dead bones. He says to the weak, fearful man in the pit, he says to him, "Mighty man of valor." He prophesies that over him. And then he receives it, and then mighty things start happening. And guys, I'm saying there's a season that we're in that we need to trust God to hear when he says, mighty man, mighty woman, have I not called you? Have I not sent you? And not only that, but to see it, recognize it in each other, to call it out, to look at John and say, John, you're a mighty man. You're a great father to your children. Children, plural. Amen. You see, dear guys, we need to trust God to see what he sees and then to call it out. Like I say to Jez, Jez, you've only tasted, brother, what God's going to do through you. Hey? You've got the Holy Spirit in you. That we look, we can see what God sees and we can call out the mighty men, the mighty women of God. Call it out. Speak to the dead bones and receive God's affirmation. Receive the word that he speaks over us. And he says, go in this might of yours. And he's like, what? Who are you talking to? But then there's a place where we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to receive that word. It doesn't make sense. I don't see it myself even. But I'm going to trust what you say. You're going to have millions of children. Okay, I'm 100 years old. My wife is 90-something. But I'm gonna believe what you say. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Let's stand and we're going to pray. Guys, so this morning I want to trust. There's a few things, okay? Firstly, I want to really trust that we as a body, as a family in Christ, but also as individuals, we come to a place we say, God, I want to get rid of the ceiling. I want to put a limit on what is possible for you. And when I pray, when I expect something from you, Lord, I expect ridiculous things. I'm going to trust for the preposterous. I'm going to trust for what is absolutely stupid to believe in, but I want to go for it. Because with you, there's nothing that's impossible. Okay, here's another thing. I'm trusting this morning for us to get filters removed. I'm trusting this morning for some of us to be able to hear when God says, I like you. I love you. For us to receive when God says, you're a mighty man. You don't see it now. You think you're a loser. You're believing what the devil says about you. But I said, that's rubbish. I've called you for something. I've called you to do great things in my name. And maybe, you know, it starts with just loving your neighbor or loving your colleague. It starts small, but that's not the point. The point is when you prophesy life or you prophesy breath, it starts maybe with one bone coming on bone, one person raised. But it's, you know, it's when we respond to what God is saying. And the thirdly, I'm going to trust God. Just if there, maybe there's some of us here that have been struggling to hear that affirmation, have been struggling to receive that word, then I want to trust God just for us to speak words of encouragement over you. And to trust God for words of prophecy. Okay, so let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is not dead, God, but it brings life in us, God. And this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for incorruptible seed to be planted in every heart, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that as we see this ceiling that has been pressed down on top of us, it's pushing us down. It's almost like it's stealing the breath out of us. It's stealing the life. That life and abundance that you came for, Lord Jesus. We don't see it always, God. We struggle to see the goodness of God around us, Lord. We struggle. It's almost like we cannot imagine. We struggle to see what's possible for you, God. And we want to repent of that, Lord. We want to repent of limiting you, God. We repent, Lord, of looking into circumstances and not being able to look beyond that, God. And this morning we declare in the name of Jesus, God, we trust you to destroy the ceiling. In the name of Jesus, to get rid of anything that limits our expectation from you. In the name of Jesus Christ. God, we declare this morning, God, we believe that not only are you able, but you are willing and able to perform that what you have promised, God. In the name of Jesus, God. I thank you for every heart here this morning. I thank you, Lord, for a capacity, God, to hear what you say to us, God, to hear your promise, to hear your word of affirmation, to receive that word. Mighty man, mighty woman, have I not called you? Have I not sent you? I'm with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I thank you, Lord, for a capacity this morning, Lord, to get the vessels, Lord, to gather the vessels. When you say, when you speak the word, God, that we would extend our faith, that we extend our expectation of you, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, yeah, we, in the name of Jesus, God, we just, I want to cancel every fear that's binding us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every there's a fear, and there's even the legalism that binds us, God, in Jesus' name. We repent of that. We break it off in the name of Jesus, and we thank you this morning, like Gideon did, that we can get out of the pit, that we can deal with the idols, that we can deal with the fear, get rid of the fear, and then receive your word that you speak over us. Receive your promise. And then we can stand on it. We can see you do miracles around us, God, in the name of Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I thank you for every heart here. And I thank you, Lord, for a shift this morning to receive your word, God, to trust you for what is ridiculous, to trust you for the impossible. And I pray for a capacity, Father, that we would see what you see in each other, but also in this nation, God, that in our community, that we would see your redemptive purpose for us here, for your light to shine here, for the power of the gospel in this place, God, in the name of Jesus. You'd get rid of all the dark veils that are keeping us from seeing your glory, God, in the name of Jesus. And as we see, and as we even that we would see the evidence of that, what is yet not seen, Lord, that's not, it's not there yet, but it's your promise, God. The hope, that substance of what we hope for, God, in the name of Jesus. If you want to respond to the word this morning, if you want to make a stand that you want to destroy the ceiling over your life, you want to get rid of this limit of expectation, then I want you to come forward. Somebody's going to pray with you. And specifically, if you've been struggling to receive affirmation, if you've been struggling to hear God and his word for you and his promise for you, I want to just pray with you, and I'm going to trust for words of encouragement and words of affirmation. Amen. So if you want to make a stand for that, then please come forward. We're going to pray with you. Okay, you guys can just stand over here. You just turn around this way somewhere. Yeah, you can just stand over here. I'll come around to everybody. Okay. No worries. Okay, great. Anybody else? Okay, I'm going to just close the service. You're welcome to hang around. If you need prayer for anything else, we're going to pray for some people. If you need prayer for healing, God hasn't changed his mind. Amen. He still heals. Abby prayed for me the other day. She's two. She doesn't doubt. She doesn't. Her expectation of God is only good. And I was healed, guys. Hey? Because we read it in the scripture. She doesn't have any reason to doubt God. And she doesn't. So when she prays, yeah, praise God. Anyway, so we're going to pray for healing if you need any. So if you need, have any other prayer needs, amen, we'll pray for you. Okay. If you need to go, you're welcome to go. If you want to hang around, you're welcome to do that. There will be some refreshments. Amen.